What's going on, Skytown? Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. My name is James Kay, and with me today, as always, is your co-host, Chris Pennant. Chris, the run continues. The Sky take game three at home. How are you feeling right now? What were your thoughts yesterday as the Sky were able to come out and win in that nail biter that came down in the final minute?
That was game three that you would want to have in a tied series. I think if you are a fan of basketball, if you are a WNBA official, you want those kinds of games. Those are the games that drive ratings. Those are the games that are exciting. Those are the games that bring new fans and cement the old ones. I think for both teams, it was tough because they knew. I knew at a certain point, whoever had the ball last pretty much was going to be the winner, or they were going to blink. And what an ending to the game. I wanted the Sky to have it last so that they would have a chance to hold their destiny in their hands. And they did. And they almost let it slip. God, we're going to get into it, but what a finish, I think. And the finish should not overshadow a fantastic game of basketball from both of these teams. There were things that they did wrong. Certainly Connecticut had a lot of turnovers. The Sky were harassed around the rim, and they were really uneven in the first and third quarters. But what a game. What a game.
It was a classic playoff basketball game. And even before we get into talking about what actually happened within the game, we just have to give a shout out to Skytown for showing up for this one.
Y'all came out.
Seriously, the traffic for the Bears game was terrible, and it is a little bit hard to get to Wintrust if you aren't by the Green Line. So It was great to see all these fans show up and just pack the house, because you could tell it really, the energy in there was something that the Sky were clearly feeding off of throughout that entire game. Obviously, Kalia Copper was Kalia Copper, and she is the pulse of this team. But at the same time, the way that Wintrust showed out for their team after there have been times that were both the media and the fans where people didn't come. The Sky did such a great job of putting on a show for the fans as well. Chris, we were talking a little bit about it before the podcast, just how in the pregame announcements of the starting lineup that they had everybody take out their phone camera and turn it on. And it looked like there was like stars everywhere. Honestly, it was great just to have everybody so involved with it. Not even just the people on the court, but the people in the stands as well.
Yeah, man. I was saying before the Olympic break, when they played that overtime game against Washington that was so packed out, there was a moment in the third quarter where Don't Stop Believing was played over the PA, and everybody just took their phones out. I figured that, you know, there was a lot of campers or basketball tournament kids in high school and possibly college. And so I figured it was just like, you know, okay, that's the thing kids do. They take out their phones and they'll turn on the flashlight, kind of get that eerie starlight effect. But it was amazing, even though I hate that song for varying reasons. But it was amazing. It was a real crowd. It was a really much a shared energy moment. The crowd was all on the same line. And I don't know if the team picked up on that and decided to repeat it, but it's fantastic that they were able to get the crowd in that way. Those kinds of things are organic marketing tools. And so when you can find them, definitely use them.
Exactly. And they're free, which is always a plus. But let's talk about what actually happened in the game as well, on the court, I should say. To me, the biggest move yesterday that James Wade made was from game two to game three, he played Ezra Stevens 16 more minutes than, from game two, she only played 20. Yesterday, she played 36, and she just had herself a day. What stood out to you about her performance, and how important do you think it was just for her to take on those minutes after we've seen some of the big struggle in this series so far?
You know what it was, honestly? Connecticut had seven blocks, and a lot of those came in the first half. And they were doubling Z on catches in the post. the Sky thrive on transition, but they also thrive on off ball screens and getting cutters down to the bucket. And Z is the recipient of a lot of those passes when she's moving right. And Connecticut was able to recover well and double on those. And so a lot of those open layups that she was getting were either harassed or blocked. And that can do a lot for a player's confidence. Seeing your shot get blocked, especially when you think it's free, that will make you think later, like, you know, is somebody coming out of nowhere again? You got to look over your shoulder. You rush shots. You're a little unsure of yourself. And Connecticut had, I think they played her very well in the first half. Just checking the numbers, Z was 3 for 10. It was 7 points and 10 boards. And she was hitting the offensive glass hard. But in a day where I think that they made it a point to come out and really harass Azaree Stevens, she rose to the challenge. 15 and 11 to finish. And a lot of those were picking up her own miss. I know 6 of 18 isn't an efficient day. And she had some jump shots that clanged. She missed 2 threes. But I loved the effort that she gave, especially on the offensive glass. Connecticut is a team that lives for second chance points, and they got beat there today. Azaree Stevens had 7 of those 12 offensive rebounds for the Sky. So, like, you were right. You were right, man. It showed in the minutes. Steph and Astu only got a handful of minutes compared to Z, and she deserved it.
I think Astu maybe played 4 minutes in the second half. I mean, one of the things that I loved just hearing from Kurt Miller yesterday was just him calling Azaree Stevens the X factor heading into the series. And like you said, she wasn't efficient from the field, but her presence on the glass was made known. And I don't think they win this game if she doesn't play 36 minutes. And that was a season high for her. We haven't really seen her play those kind of minutes just due to that leg injury that she was dealing with. And it was so important for James Wade not to panic at the beginning of the season when Azaree was available to him. But even when they're going through all these injury woes, when she was clearly the person that fits best next to Candace Parker, that he wasn't going to break the minutes restriction and play her 30 minutes a game. And games like yesterday that just show how important it was for him to have that patience. So you do have to give him credit for that. And he kind of even corrected his own mistake. He talked a little bit about it in the post-game presser, just how he watched game 2 and thought he could have played Azaree a little bit more. There were times yesterday where apparently she said that she needed some rest and he was like, no, you're going out there. We need you right now. And that's great though. I mean, for Azaree, who's just had, especially in this series, she hadn't played more than like 22 minutes in this series in each of the first two games, to just, your coach is like, no, actually we need you right now. I mean, that's a confidence booster that she's going to have, not even just in game 4, but potentially the rest of the playoffs if this Sky are able to continue onward.
Yeah, I'm just checking over the series summary here on Basketball Reference. And it's wild. Like, the top 5 players aren't all starters, but the Sky have really spread around the scoring opportunities. Kalia Copper's got the most field goal attempts of 37 in the 3 games. But I mean, Azaree Stevens has 36 in 29 fewer minutes of game time. Again, a lot of that is offensive rebounds, and that's where she's come up so big. So I think that's where you excuse the efficiency, because Connecticut is going to be tough on the glass, and they're going to alter maybe the first or even the second shot if you get another chance at it. But she's kept at that. And honestly, for James Wade, that's big too, I think. He's a third-year coach. He's not a spring chicken in this. He knows how to coach. That's obvious. You go to the playoffs 3 times. It's not an accident. But even the most experienced coaches, I think, can rely too much on what they've done in the past, something that feels like a tried and true formula, or, you know, rotations that you've already come up with. So for him to say, no, I'm going to use this player more because of what I've seen them do, that's a big move. He could have stuck with Steph and Astu in the second half. Astu didn't, I don't think she played in the second half at all. And it was right. They weren't effective at the start of the second quarter. Steph got some time later and she was able to hit a couple of shots, but on the most part, they did not have the defensive impact that they had in game 1 and even some parts of game 2.
Definitely. And we could probably talk more about what Azrae did and how her teammates raved about her performance yesterday, but we are limited with time, so let's just keep moving forward with this. We also have to talk about Kalia freaking Copper, Chris. Oh,
you already know. Philly, stand up, bro.
Man, she shined yesterday. I mean, look, she was just made for a moment like this. I mean, it's not even just the scoring. It's just what, like, how she carries herself. There's not even a shred of her that thinks that she doesn't belong at this stage, being, again, the difference maker. She scored the fourth most points in a single playoff game in franchise history with 26 yesterday. She hit three of her 6 3-pointers. She went to the line 6 times. She was efficient. She shot 64% from the field. Chris, this was just an all-star performance from Ka that we've just become accustomed to seeing this season.
We've come to expect it now. And Kalia Copper is no longer a hidden gem. She's not a dark horse. She's not under the radar. And if she is, people are missing the point. Those three threes are big time. Because even so, that's not what you expect. You don't expect Ka to hit 3 of 6 from outside. But she was able to do so. I mean, some of that is probably coming home and the effect that you have shooting on your home floor. But damn, man, that changed so much of the game. And that second quarter run where the sky pulled back even, Allie Quigley got going, but Ka was able to hit that three on the offing. And she hit, I believe, another one late in the fourth quarter that was part of a run to give the sky the lead when Connecticut had gone up 8. Those are big-time plays from a big-time player.
And even she also took, just to quickly interrupt you, too, just to before we move on from it, too, at the end of the half where she hit that three in the corner, the Sun switched to a box and one and was like, okay, we'll let you shoot that three in the corner. And she buried it. That is just ice in Ka's veins. Anyway, sorry.
That's a great look. Because, you know, when you look at Connecticut's defensive schemes, like you said, when you go to box and one, you're playing the paint and you're playing the 2-point shots inside the key, right? So that's what they're looking at the sky to get. That's what they're looking to attack defensively. So when you have your slasher, your bona fide slasher who can step outside and hit that short corner three, that throws the defensive alignments out of whack to a certain point. They're not going to, Kurt Miller's not going to panic. The staff's not going to panic and just change like that because, you know, Kalia Copper hit 1 3, but she hits 3 of 3s. Then you have to change a little bit of what you're doing. You said Connecticut doesn't have an answer in, I think, pregame. And it's going to be tested, especially in game 4. But the Sky have laid some seeds of doubt.
Interesting. So expand on that. What are the seeds of doubt in your mind?
Well, they got beat on the offensive glass today. For a team with their identity, that is tough. That's tough to take. You know, some of that you can chalk up to effort, but I don't think that they played a languid game by any means. Even considering what we talked about in the last pod, the difficulties of travel, all of that, I didn't see a weary Connecticut team. They played up until the final horn completely in just about every phase. They made some mistakes on their final offensive plays, sure. But they had a chance to win, potentially. So I don't think there was a question of fatigue in terms of they just got beat on the glass. So that's gonna sow some doubt in your mind. Secondly, what you said, what we were talking about with Kalia Copper, you have to game plan for her. And they took Courtney Vandersloot out of the ball game until maybe about the second half. She did not have a great first half, even though she had some assists up. I think it was only 3. And she ended up finishing with 13 assists.
Yeah.
And she got 7 points. And all those 7 points came at the tail end of the game when they were especially needed. So you take Courtney Vandersloot out of the game. You shut Chicago's bench down, who had done such a good job in game 1. And then you still end up losing by 3. That, you know, there's a team with their backs against the wall now. And there's a team this season that's not used to losing. They're not used to losing, period, but they're especially not used to losing games like this. Carolyn and LaChina said it on the broadcast. They hadn't allowed 70 points in a long, long time. And now they've allowed 101, 68, and 86. That's difficult. your team is built around defense. Your MVP is coming off of two subpar games. They're looking for answers. You have to be looking for answers at that point.
I agree with you to a certain extent. The thing that I noticed, I was sitting next to Connecticut's bench yesterday, and early on in the first quarter, the thing that stood out to me more than anything was how they were still adapting to the physicality of this series. I think it's the tone has been set already. This is they're going to swallow their whistles, and mm-hmm. they are going to let these two teams go through what James Wade has called multiple times now, a slugfest.
Yeah.
And Connecticut still completely doesn't understand. Like, I should say it this way. Connecticut is still looking for those fouls that they were getting in the regular season. And the Sky, they're not complaining on the other end. I mean, I know that Candace Parker is a walking meme and everything, but at the same time, you're not seeing. But when these players are getting hit, they're not complaining. They're just going back on the other end. And one of the quotes that stood out to me a couple days ago from Ka was just, we're not looking for anyone to give us anything. We're just going out there and taking it. And that has been the difference in this series, where the Chicago Sky are taking every opportunity that is given to them. They might not be executing for 40 minutes a game necessarily, which no team does, obviously. But yesterday, that first quarter, Jonquel Jones, Bree Jones, both of those players to me were not, like, they were looking to the refs like, are you going to call this? And look, the refs are just not going to do that in a series like this. It's just not going to happen. And when you lose a quarter like that, and I think the Sun adjusted well halfway through the first quarter, and they did again, they ended up having the lead by the end of it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, if you start off the game like that, that look, that's just going to mess with you as the game plays on. And we saw it with Bree Jones. She didn't play 20 minutes tonight. She played 19 minutes, and they finished with Alyssa Thomas. That says a lot to me, and why if I'm the Sky and I've taken out the most improved player of the year in one game, and I've taken out Jonquel Jones, the MVP, in another, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances.
Yeah, and like I said, that's two subpar games from Jonquel Jones. You can't have your MVP score 4 points in one game and 10 points in another game and really expect to win. Bree Jones is a big part of that. Noah, two rebounds,
yeah,
and 8 points. I mean, that's huge. Bree Jones closed out game one, and she was knocking the Sky around. She was everywhere at the end of that game, and she played well in game two too. I mean, Alyssa Thomas did so much, and maybe they were going with that, but where I don't understand exactly what happened with Bree Jones. And if it's what you're saying, I go with you, man, because you can't at this point look for calls that aren't going to get called. They're not. We've seen it on both sides of the floor.
Yeah.
There were so many times in the game yesterday where I looked on drives, where I looked on catches to the outside, where, you know, very rarely were the referees calling hand checks or body contact, even plays in the air.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And once the Sky kind of realized this, they were playing those players even more physical than they were in the previous games. They decided after game one that they were not going to give Jonquel or Bree Jones any one-on-one opportunities down low. They were going to throw doubles at them. They were going to, I mean, Allie Quigley. I mean,
that was great.
Yeah, no, what she was able to do, and just like all the pressure that she was providing. And, you know, Jonquel Jones only had 10 points in this game on 11 shots. She only scored 4 points in the second half. And again, when you combine that with Bree Jones only playing 19 minutes in this game, look, the Sky executed their game plan. They are going to let everybody else beat them outside of Bree and Jonquel. And Dawana Bonner got hot, but at the same time, Dawana Bonner is not the best three-point shooter. I think she's closer to 30% in her career. So if she goes 4 of 5 from beyond the arc, you should feel pretty good about that being a scoring opportunity on the other end, compared to looking at Jonquel and Bree underneath the basket, where they just tore apart the Sky in the first three quarters of the game in game one, just being able to maneuver their way around the rim. And it's hard going against Candace Parker. Like, Bree Jones, for how young she is, you got to give her all the credit in the world when she does take advantage of those one-on-one opportunities, but they have completely evaporated from game two and game three compared to game one.
Yeah, we got to talk about that defense. The Sky were able to, they were getting beat late in game two on the hedge. So on the pick and roll, they had to hedge high and they could not get back in time to prevent either a mismatch or just a free run to the rim from the screener or just from the weak side. And we attributed that to fatigue, right? You know, third game in 6 days, you're playing on the road. That's going to be a difficulty. What they were able to do today, they weren't really getting stuck in the pick and roll. What they did was on the catch down low, they would sink a guard, have a guard sag back, whether it was Quigley or Vandersloot, and harass the post player, and then also effectively deny the pass out to the wing or to the corner. And they were able to get to a few steals on those plays. Connecticut was able to weather those a couple of times, but definitely when you can use Allie Quigley as a defender effectively, because we know she's not the best on-ball defender, but when you can use Allie Quigley and Courtney Vandersloot effectively to harass the players on Connecticut's bread and butter, those post players, Jonquil Jones, Bree Jones, even Dawana Bonner, if she has a mismatch, that is the kind of defensive adjustment that the Sky were making against Minnesota to bother them. And they are effectively, they're taking these teams who are statistically outplay them in the regular season, and they're taking them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah. You're completely right.
That's hard to do. That's really hard to do in the playoffs.
It really is. And I'm curious how you feel about this, because Connecticut is relying heavily on Alyssa Thomas, which makes sense. She's someone that when we see her healthy, which we probably haven't seen in a bit, but when she is healthy, she's one of the best fours in this league. She's someone that can do so much for you on both ends of the floor. But if I'm Connecticut and I'm a fan of Connecticut, I'm curious how much you trust having to go to her as much as they did in the fourth quarter as a scoring option when she's only playing with one arm out there. And Candace Parker was letting Alyssa Thomas get those opportunities. Obviously, look, you have to convert them still. Her floater was just on point yesterday, and you have to give her all the credit in the world for that. But when it came down to, you know, when Candace Parker was like not going to give her those opportunities at the end of the game, you saw what happened where Alyssa taking that fadeaway with one arm, trying to shoot that over Candace Parker. I mean, that just wasn't going to be a shot that you want at the end of the game to keep yourself in that game. And I don't know, I'm just curious how you feel about it. Do you think that looking back yesterday, do you think that do you think the Sun should have rolled with Alyssa Thomas as much as they did at the end of the game? Or do you think that Kurt Miller should have gone back to Bree Jones, someone who has been so effective this season, even if she wasn't yesterday?
It's tough to say, because we watched game two and the way that Alyssa Thomas finished things out.
Yeah.
We thought that the restrictor play was off and that was going to be difficult to deal with. And for the most part, it was. I don't think that she's feeling that many ill effects from the Achilles surgery, from the Achilles tear. So she had been playing better. I don't think defensively she was as effective. I didn't really see the Alyssa Thomas defensive effect after the second quarter, or after, say, midway through the second quarter. But the way that she had been going, and she had just hit that same shot a few possessions earlier. So I don't really see a problem with it. I think that she had been playing effectively. What I think the Sun got in trouble is that they were bothered at the rim and they were trying to make one too many extra passes to the weak side underneath the rim, and the Sky were ready for that. But having Alyssa Thomas on the floor, I definitely don't think is a problem. Just what she brings to the table defensively, just in terms of size and strength and her defensive acumen, it's hard to replace. So I would, the way that Bree Jones was playing, I think Alyssa Thomas is a better option. And I'm sure that there would be people who disagree, but you know, you play the game that's in front of you. And I think, yeah, Sunday she had a better game.
I think she did too. I think it's just an interesting conversation to have. I mean, she had 11 points in the fourth quarter, you know, so she did what she needed to do. I wonder how that's going to work late in the game when you're looking for someone to foul. And Alyssa Thomas, you know, she's had to reinvent her free throw form. I'm curious how that's going to work out. But at the same time, I understand wanting to keep her out there. And I mean, she played all the fourth quarter yesterday. She's someone that, again, can disrupt you so much on the defensive end. So, yeah, I just don't know what the answer is for Connecticut heading into game four, because the Sky have figured out all of their tricks almost. And I know that, this was a 3-point win. And it's easy to just talk about the Sky being so dominant when, you know, they come out with the victory, and on the other side of it, it's like, okay, well, how would you be talking about them this way if they had lost yesterday? I still feel like I would. I feel pretty confident about where this team is at. Until they can figure out how to stop Kalia Copper, Breanne January looked really tired yesterday trying to guard Allie Quigley on the perimeter. You really saw Allie open up her offensive game in the third quarter. Yeah. And she went off for, I think, 9 or 12 points at least. And I'm starting to think that this Connecticut Sun team is looking at each other, wondering what they can do to get this thing back on track. And you know what, Chris, let's just head in, like, finish it off here a little bit. Who do you think wins game four?
Man, we've had three close games. I know the score of game two belies that, but that game was close until, say, 5 minutes left in the contest. So I'm calling that a close game too, when you go to double overtime and then you have a 3-point win. Connecticut, for all that we talked about fouls, Connecticut went to the line 10 times yesterday, and Jonquel Jones had no foul shots. That is definitely something that they'll be looking to rectify, whether it's getting her the ball in the post early and kind of daring the Sky to go one-on-one, or anticipating the double and making a better play out of it. But they need more. They absolutely need more. And I think that Jonquel Jones is going to be looking to set a tone for herself and for her team early. That being said, if the Sky hits 6 threes on Wednesday, that seems very arbitrary, considering they hit 9 yesterday and only won by a possession. You know, I'll go above that. If the Sky hit 9 or more threes, because they've increased their 3-point output every game so far, if they hit 9 or more threes on Wednesday, they win. I don't have a methodology for it, but this team has the utmost confidence. I think the play that Breanne January, Jasmine Thomas made, where Thomas stole the ball from Allie Quigley and January nearly had that go-ahead layup. In the past, that would have been a Sky short circuit. Quigley would have tried to throw a pass or just gone to the wrong spot. Where late in the game, we see them, they make one mistake, just one late mistake that changes the game. That was Connecticut. That was an era of omission. You know, there was really no way out of that. And Jasmine Thomas made a brilliant, brilliant defensive play. I'm still marveling at that play to get that ball away from Quigley. And then January just heard footsteps. So I haven't seen this guy beating themselves the way that we have in the past. So I don't think they're going to beat themselves in game four. They're at home. They have the advantage. And the Sun are the ones that have to play with the extra bit of desperation. So I think if this guy hit 9 threes or more, they are heading to the finals.
It's crazy that we have been recording for what, maybe 30 minutes now. We didn't bring up the Breanne January play at the end.
That's because we're good at what we do.
There we go. But I also don't think that was necessarily the deciding play of the game. If we look back at, again, the output of Jonquel and Breanna Jones, but at the same time, the thing that I'm looking forward to and just looking out for, I should say, is just how this team responds after the starters played as many minutes as they did. Courtney Vandersloot played 37 minutes. Allie Quigley played 35. Azrae Stevens played 36. And outside of Diamond playing 11 minutes, no one else on the bench played more than 8 minutes. So I'm curious how the starters respond after this being sort of a a game we're not accustomed to seeing from James Wade. He usually likes to rotate people in and out, trying to find matchups minute to minute. And it's crazy how much of a game, like, again, he just like, these five players are going to either win this game for us or lose it for us. And they ended up winning it for them. I'm curious how this team responds having played so many minutes yesterday, but at the same time,
yeah,
I'm not betting against this team. They didn't look too gassed. I felt like maybe Courtney Vandersloot looked a little bit gassed by the end of it, a little bit. But at the same time, everybody else, and again, she also, anytime they needed her, I mean, she scored 7 points in the fourth quarter. She ended up with 13 assists, had 5 rebounds. She was someone that still made a huge impact yesterday. They left it all out there. I just want to see how they turn up, like how they show out in game four. Energy wise, I'm just not going to bet against this team and how they're playing this. There's something happening here where it's all clicking at the right time. Everybody has each other's back. And even someone like Diamond to Shields, who again was probably looking forward to these moments. She probably envisioned during her rehab last year about like getting back to a position where she's playing 30 minutes in a playoff game. Even she has been able to really stay the course here. And, you know, she struggled yesterday, she struggled in game two, but like she had her moment in game one as well. And they don't win that game without her too. So I'm not betting against this team. If they take out the Joneses again, look, I think we're the Sky are going to their first championship or to their first final since 2014. And I feel pretty confident about saying that.
It's hard to argue against. Now, like we're talking, you know, we're talking here with the confidence of having watched them win in such a way in a close game. And no matter what anybody might say about championship teams and their mettle, their inherent chemistry, their will, like what James Wade talked about with Will, right? It's so hard to win a game like that, that you know early on. I could see halfway through that game was going to come down to the last. Even when Connecticut went up 8, I was worried late, but I still felt like that game was going to come down to the last 1 or 2 possessions, and it did. And those are, like I said, those are tough games to win. And the better team usually wins that game. This wasn't a Sky down 2-0, and this was a game that they needed to win, and they still had to pull it out by the skin of their teeth. This is a 1-1 series in a game where they won on the road. And they had the advantage, they have home court, and you knew that Connecticut wanted to go up. They call these games must win for ratings and narratives, but I think Connecticut needed to win this game as much as Chicago did, and Chicago won it. So they have the advantage. They're at home still. They have played. Do you think, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
In the games that we've watched, two must win games, and then the first 3 games of this series, have the Sky reached their ceiling yet? Have they played their best basketball, in your opinion?
Their best basketball. I mean, I think you could argue yesterday that was probably the second best version of the Sky, with the best version being they get more from Diamond to Shields on the offensive end. I think that we've seen, again, like games against like the Aces and the Lynx and like the second Aces game at Wintrust, or the first game at Wintrust against the Aces, and the round 2 matchup with the Lynx, that to me felt like the best version of the Sky, just because of what they were able to do and get that relief from Diamond coming off of the bench. If they get that from her, then that, and you apply that to last game, I think that to me, that's the best version of the Sky. So once they get that for 40 minutes, to me, yeah, I do think the Sky have played like 98% of what they're capable of, if that makes sense.
Okay. So we haven't seen them quite play yet their best basketball, and they're up 2-1 on the top seed in the playoffs. So if anybody is going to motivate them to play their best game of the season on Wednesday night, I think it's James Wade. So,
yeah.
So, we're going to see, maybe if we only see 95%, that'll still be a better Sky team than what won on Sunday, than what won in game one, that won in Minnesota and won at home against Dallas. And that's going to be a decidedly difficult team to get one over on. And at the end of it, that's why I think they win.
I'm with you. We both are picking the Sky to win game four, and we will see what happens. We'll be back on the pod, I'm sure, after Wednesday or on Thursday afternoon. So be looking out for that. But Chris, I know you got to get going right now. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to do this. And let's be in contact about it all, because I cannot wait for Wednesday. Everybody's got to show up on Wednesday again, like you did on Sunday. And go to tickpick.com if you're looking for good prices on tickets to this game. I think you can get 100 level tickets for around $20-$30. So go and find your spot at Wintrust, because your team needs you.
Most definitely.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. If you could take a second to rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts, we would really appreciate it if you could take a couple of moments to do that. And if you want to email us, you can always do so by emailing our mailbag, which is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. One more time, that is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. And if you want to find us on social media, you can always do so by going to the episode description to find all of that lovely information. We are on Twitter and Instagram. Go ahead and follow us there if you want to see more content from us. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and until next time.